You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our Why a Warrior Week topic is the monarchy. The Kingitanga movement arose in the 1850s to establish a role similar to the British monarch and help halt alienation of Māori land. News director Lillian spoke with Huirama Matatahi, a kaitiaki at Turaranga Waiwai Marae, who focuses on connecting youth with the Kingitanga movement through Te Kahui Rangatahi. Lillian began by asking him about the history of the movement.
Yeah, so the common thing is that there were three things that, three reasons, hei puri te toto, hei pupuri te whenua, and hei pupuri te mana Māori motuhake. So to cease the bloodshed or inter-tribal warfare, to hold on to our whenua and to maintain mana Māori motuhake. Those are the three kaupapa that's, that's always talked about in terms of the beginning of Kingitanga. But how we sort of make it relevant in today's time, we say, well, there was a conversation that happened in Pukawa, which was the ultimate determiner of who was going to be what I call the beacon of light in terms of ko teitanga at that time. what we try to talk about is what were the conversations that happened there, because there's things that happen today, like there's all these meetings that go on all around the place, and there's a certain time that you have to meet in, there's a certain agenda that you have to go to, and there's certain decisions that need to be made, and that's the structure of a meeting. But our understanding of how Pukawa happened is that there was, a few days and a few thousand people that sat, that discussed, and that ultimately came out with the decision and the commitment to each other that would, unbeknown to them, I suppose, would last 160 years. So what sort of conversation happened there, and what sort of trust did they have in each other to have that conversation that would last far beyond them and far beyond the time that they would have on the, well, first of all, have on this earth, but have in terms of a kaupapa that can exist that long.
Some of the corridor around the Kingitanga often says that it was established, or it began in opposition to the Pākehā monarchy. Is that true? Or is this its own kaupapa?
For them to see the model, for the establishers of Kingitanga to see the model, they travelled overseas and they saw something happening over there in England. So you could say, and to those who are keen on rubbishing Māori, Māori history, would go, oh well, it's a copy and paste from a system that Pākehā had developed. And on the face of it, you could say yes, it was. But and in terms of making it Māori, there were a whole lot of more things, that happened in there. So in terms of the Pākehā monarch, in my view of it, goes down the line and all of that stuff. Whereas the establishment of Kingitanga Te Ao Māori, there was a rōpū that went around to all of the leaders of the motu and began to have wānanga with them about the kaupapa, and then in the wānanga, asking would they be the person that would hold the mantle in regards to the wānanga and the outcomes that just happened regarding ko teitanga, regarding the stopping of the sale of land or the alienation of land, of the fighting and of mana Māori motuhake. And each of the leaders are said to say they never put themselves up on the pedestal. They always said that there was somebody else. So go and see this other person first, go and see this other person, and go and see this other person. They always refer to somebody else to go and see, as the saying goes, because the kumara doesn't talk about itself. And in that small gesture of somebody else maybe more suited than I am, changes the whole concept of how Te Ao Pākehā, or how the model that they saw operates, because it's all... And the other model, it's all about put my hand up and talk about myself.
Mm.
And in our model, it's put my hand out and refer to others, and allow the others to be at least spoken to. And then the consensus of what others say will be the determinant of the way forward for our kaupapa. So in the establishment of thing in 1860, when 1858, when Putatau was chosen, his choosing was not of his own, but of the rangatira around the motu referring to, you know, him. And so, with the support of the motu, he was consecrated as that, you know, as the first Māori king. So, yeah, I think it was all about whanaungatanga and the understanding of the concepts of our own constructs of rangatiratanga that allowed kingitanga first to be translated from an idea or a thing that was seen in a distant land. The way that I tell the story is that the reason that they went overseas to see that is because they were up against or living with people that understood that sort of construct. So after 1840, all of the Pākehā started to reside with us and things like that, and they understood the construct that was happening, and the structure that was happening in England or, you know, in Great Britain and the monarchy that was happening there.
Right.
And so, marama katoarata ki tērā ahuatanga, and nō reira ko mātou tūpuna ka haere ki kona, ka kite I tērā ka whakao ki mai, I runga I te whakaaro, ka marama rātou ki tērā ahuatanga.
Mm.
Yeah, so ka whakatupu I tētahi kaupapa e marama ai tā rātou, o rātou ake, pia, yeah.
In terms of looking ahead, is the kingitanga a source for Māori sovereignty?
Sure. Okay. So my whakaaro around this is that kingitanga is a kaupapa kotahitanga. And it's an expression of kotahitanga. And it's seen in terms of the continued kaupapa that umbrellas, I suppose, and the continued support that it has and has been getting over the years. Now, people say that it's dwindled in time and that it's been questioned of its relevance and things like that. And the thing that it does do is it continues to be in existence. And so, relevant or not, it is in existence, and it's for every generation to determine its relevance. And so the determination that I make or that we make as a part of Te Kauhi Rangatahi on the relevance that it has in our time at least is the pulling together of rangatahi, because our rangatahi are more informed, are more accessible to, our information is more accessible to rangatahi than there has ever been before, and the innovative nature that that rangatahi bring to a kaupapa, and the advancement in technology that can support the innovations that rangatahi bring to the kaupapa, it has been more accessible than ever before. So is the kaupapa relevant? I definitely think it is. And the way that we make it relevant is based on the understandings that we have of it in the first instance, and then the desire that we need, the desire that we have within ourselves to ensure that a kaupapa that lasted 160 years, do we want to be the final generation, or do we want to be in the generation or the generation that sees it stop existing? And I'm not too sure if anybody wants to be in a generation that does that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.